Hello, this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki Balancing Form and Essence. It's December 31st. It's really hard to imagine that this is the turning of our year and all that comes with it. This time of year, starting from the solstice of December 21st through the end of January, marks a time for many, many cultures, all cultures of the world, to recognize an end and indeed a beginning. For us, for me, I will say, this year has been remarkable. And I have, again, experienced things I never would have imagined I could experience and have to look forward to more things. And I think that last year, in my own self, I really wanted to find a deeper part of my spirituality, to recognize my connection more and to live more of my own life. And that's certainly what's been happening. I'd like to share with you something that I do every New Year's for the last, I think, maybe 9-10 years. Some friends of mine and I have gotten together and thrown an I Ching reading for the coming year. And it's amazing how many times the hexagrams appear in, the same hexagrams appear in my readings. Last year, my reading went from 11, which is prospering, to 26, which is potential energy, taming the power of the great. And this has been an incredible portent for me. I look at the I Ching as being something that allows me to have a focus for the energy and for all the things that happen to me in the year that point toward a certain direction or perhaps give me a way, a perspective to, in which to look at things so that I have a similar perspective for all things. This gives me direction. And I'd like to just read a little bit of this. Because you are in possession of a great deal of stored or potential energy, you may now undertake ambitious and far-reaching endeavors. The timing of such efforts is of vast importance. The ability to control, direct, restrain, or store your powers will bring you very good fortune. Also, the continual re-evaluation of the correctness or worth of your plan is now a concern of major significance. And down toward the bottom it says, you possess a storehouse of potential psychological energy. There is no reason that it should not be used in a positive exchange. Personal relationships could blossom overnight. For great success, hold to traditional values. View all feelings in the light of what has come before and what is expected by tradition. Pay particular attention to the continuing development of your character. The totality of what you have experienced has organized itself into an illuminated perspective of great clarity. This may be a real breakthrough in the maturing process. You have the potential energy for an enlightened insight that could change your life. Well, my year started in having a last-minute invitation to go down to Tulum, Mexico, and teach a first-degree class, which I did. And when I went down there, I was revisiting a very special place for me. Tulum, the Mayan, an ancient Mayan site, has been has a very special place in my heart and in my spiritual growing. And it was an opening again toward the world of, I would say, very ancient, deep understanding of the movement of the cosmos. And doesn't really have much to do, I believe, with the earth itself as we know it now, or even in my own human body, but in some place that's more far-reaching than that. And then in the middle of the year, in July, at the very beginning of July, during the full moon time, I went up by horseback into the high mountains of Colorado with some wonderful women. And I was able to feel again this amazing peace of nature. There was no indication of mankind except for the little forestry markers on the side of the trails. And we woke up in the morning according to when we wanted to wake up and moved according to the rhythm of the horses. And I found also during this time, thanks to Kathy, our wrangler and guide, that I had a lot of fear in my body. And a lot of that fear had to do with letting down, I believe, letting the separation between an animal, the horse, much more powerful than a human being in strength, in physical strength, and having their own mind, and myself, a human being, having my own mind and not much physical strength in relationship to them. So I realized that I had this fear come up in me, and I really didn't understand it because I love horses, I love riding. I'm not particularly a good rider, but I have lots of experience. And always felt that falling off was a great failure. But of course, in the last 6 months, I've realized that that is ridiculous. But anyway, there I was. And that led me, in preparation, to finding out at the end of July, a few weeks later, that I had breast cancer, and then the surgery in the middle of August, and then the beginning of chemotherapy in the middle of October, and now I'm at, I've just finished my treatment 12 of 20. So if I don't skip any treatments, I will be finished with the chemotherapy at the very end of February. Now, what is it that I have observed over these months? And what is the direction that I've seen? Well, you know, this idea that I have a great deal of stored potential energy on the psychological level has been definitely clear for me. As you can imagine, I have experienced an amazing array of treatments, Reiki treatments, I will say, a great wave of distant treatments, prayers, and thoughts. This wonderful person sent me, who was just initiated in first degree, sent me a painting of his hands and said that he was giving me Reiki through this painting. And I just thought that was a wonderfully creative way to send me Reiki as a first degree student. I've received innumerable hands-on treatments, some by individuals, some by groups. I've had Reiki applied to the chemicals, the chemotherapy itself, while I'm receiving chemo and so on. And it's been a journey through my psychological jungle, I would say. And especially at the very beginning, I realized that there was a very deep rift in me that was, I think, shown to me by this understanding of this fear that came up during my horseback trip. And this fear kept me separated from a part of myself that I really needed to own and to take in. A part of myself that I felt ashamed of and felt like was I didn't want to have inside of me. And there were lots of demons and gargoyles that came in through my dreams, and the only thing I could do was to give them Reiki. And when I did, they became gentled and then became a part of myself, and I was thrilled by this, and at the same time really surprised by the power of these demons to keep me from a part of myself that I really need to be in contact with, and that is my spirit. You know, all this is relative, of course, and relatively speaking, of course, I've lived in spirit for a long time. I've done what I felt like I needed to do from my heart. But another great insight that I have had after this, surprisingly for a lot of people, is that I realize how mental I am and how that mental part of me is very strong, but I've also used it as a defense mechanism. And that has kept me separated again from really the feelings of my heart and being vulnerable, more deeply vulnerable. And so I've become more and more sensitive, and things touch me in a very deep way. I'm also very prone to moments of bliss and of deep gratitude and joy that I can't really explain. And even as I go through the chemotherapy cycle, which has been really interesting, I feel that I'm learning so much about who I am as a human being and what my body is capable of being for me. That's sort of like trusting the horse. You know, the horse is not going to run straight into a tree or run off a cliff unless he's a bit crazy too. But, you know, he wants to survive, he wants to protect me, he wants to hold me as much as he can, and so does my body. But I don't give my body a chance because I'm always trying to control it and, you know, give it direction and decide what it needs to eat and what it needs to take in and what's healthy for it and what's not healthy for it and so on. And one of my surrenders has been really to my body, to eat what it wants. Even though in my head I think, oh gosh, I don't know if this is really healthy, or I don't know if this is really what I should be eating. It's what my body wants, and I'm doing it. For instance, I haven't eaten oranges for decades. Maybe a glass of fresh orange juice when I go to Andalusia in the south of Spain during the harvest season. But for the most part, I don't eat oranges and citrus, because my grandmother always said that it was very acid and that it wasn't very good for you, and or at least for me. And so over the last month or so, when the oranges are now in season here, my body just wants to eat oranges, and it's very strange for me. I'm just watching and seeing if something abnormal is happening, but it's not, and it seems to actually be supporting me, so I keep on eating them. You know, the amazing process of treating oneself also during this time has given me a sense of the depth of what is possible in self-treatment. I felt the earth move, literally, under my hands, inside my body, and it's been another remarkable step in my progress of self-treatment. So, one of the great questions that I've come up with over the last few months is, what is health? What am I striving for with my body? Am I whipping it into perfection? Do I see my little additional weight that I would like to lose as an imperfection? And so there is a place that my body isn't really being supported in what it needs. I played the transformation game and while I was in Almaty in September, and I got a card that said, you eat to satisfy your emotions, not nourish your body. And that was a really important one for me, because I have used food to soothe my emotions, to demonstrate emotions, like to demonstrate love by eating food that I don't really want, or to eat more food that I don't really need, and knowingly, because I want to show someone that I love them by eating their food. You know, you're probably familiar with this. So all in all these things have come to me, and I'm now getting to practice every day mindfulness about my body. So there are lots of things that I would love to be doing. I would love to be going to the gym 3 times a week. I would love to be walking a mile or two every day. I would love to be on a macrobiotic diet. I would love to be getting some energetic exercise, what I call energetic exercise, like yoga or tai chi. I mean, there are so many things, and I have given up and surrendered to what is possible, what is actually called for of my body, and to trust that, and to be able to know that I'm doing the best I can. And the best I can is to keep myself in a space where there's equilibrium. And right now, what is one of the side effects, or one of the effects, I should say, of having chemotherapy is that I am very sensitive to my equilibrium. If I get in a hurry, if I do too much or schedule too much, if I get up too early in the morning and I'm not quite ready and I do it anyway, or stay up too late and then tire myself out too much, I pay for it in the sense that I just can't do anything. I collapse. And it's a good feedback for me, really good feedback. So the changes in me are not so much physical, although there is physical fatigue and so on, but the sensitivity I feel like to my physical equilibrium is very important. And it also is an equilibrium in relationship to my spiritual strength. When I get tired, when I'm overwrought physically, then I also, of course, spiritually lose it, because I just want to run away. That's my big thing. And now what I'm doing in this very moment, actually, is looking at these situations of wanting to run away and to try to discern the times when running away is not really running away. It's doing what you need to do, which is to stay home or to do something that is a priority for me, or to know that even though I would love to go to the movies tonight, which is really true, I did want to, I can't, because my body just doesn't want to go. It's not ready. It's not willing. And this isn't running away. This is taking care. And I feel that in my life in Reiki, in my life as the lineage bearer, and in my excitement of just bathing myself and wallowing, as it were, in the international community, that I have far extended myself to the point where to withdraw and to come back to me feels like running away. It feels like there's something that I'm not doing because, even though I want to. But my heart says, Phyllis, take care. My emotions say, I love you, I want to be with you. My spirit says, you can be with them, but you don't have to be there. Whew. It's a hard one. And it's very good that I have another few months to work this out. So this is my journey for this next year, is to continue to learn, continue to monitor, continue to be myself, and continue to know that the universe is at my doorstep. It's within me, and it's within you, and that we are one. And for this, I have Reiki. And it reminds me all the time that I don't need to travel to be with you. Sure, I would love to feel your arms around me, to hear your voices sing with me, to go for a walk, to have breakfast, one of my favorite things, to exchange Reiki treatments. And perhaps the real learning is our spiritual connection. To know that we do not need the reassurance of physicality, but that our spirits are strong, connected, and able to communicate with each other, especially through our practice of Reiki. During this next month in January, I'd like to explore spiritual lineage. Spiritual lineage is something that that's come up over and over again in the last month, actually, because my grandmother has, of course, been very present with me, as have Dr. Usui and Dr. Hayashi. And the spiritual lineage is increasingly a metaphor for me. It starts out in being kind of a way to trace my learning, my path of Reiki. But if I enlarge that, if I step back, I realize that this lineage and the respect and honor I carry for it also allows me to perhaps enlarge that scope of respect and honor and understanding to my family lineage and to the lineage of women that I stand in and to the lineage of human beings that I stand in. And in that, it creates another perspective of the phrase, we are one. Maladoma Somme is an African man who is wonderful, wonderful writer. His last name is spelled S-O-M-E with a accent on the E. And if you look him up on the internet, you'll find several writings of his. And he's also still doing some events about community building. And he said that, you know, our ancestors are the shaft of the spear, and we are the point of the spear. And our ancestors guide us in the direction, and we take the next step. So if we try to disengage ourselves from our ancestors, from our families, from being women, from being men, from being human, we tend then to separate, disenfranchise ourselves, and then we lose this connection that is already in us. And this separation takes a lot of energy. I feel that this is something that's being healed in me. I don't know how, I don't know why, and I can't really put it into words, but there's a place of understanding that this spear point that I am has the opportunity to pierce the future, to plant a seed for our next generations, to have vision for the system and for our practice, to hold out my hand in continuum. Even if I don't have my own biological child, there will be something that comes after me that allows this lineage to live on. And what is that that I am doing? So in my 61st year, I feel like this is the time for me to be prepare myself for death, to understand that now my purpose in my life is not about doing what I want or getting all the adventures in that I want to in my life, or doing good for other people, or being the perfect student or the perfect master or the perfect son or daughter. It's about being myself. It's about finding this authentic step for me that allows me to be the point of the spear, to find myself looking forward, open arms, trembling. Trembling on the verge of fear, trembling on the verge of excitement, trembling on the verge of the unknown and anticipation. Trembling. Part of what gives me courage, what gives me faith, what gives me inspiration are all my experiences in this practice. The unusual ones, the ones that don't seem to work, all of those, they're all a part of the mystery. And as I learn about my body through chemotherapy, through being afraid that I'm going to have lymphedema, and learning about my lymph system, which is an amazing part of my body, which I didn't really pay attention to before, to being aware of if my nose is tingling, if my fingertips are tingling, if my nails are changing color, if my legs are a little weaker, if my blood feels thin. You know, all these different sensations that I'm having or am aware of having in these last weeks and will continue to grow in the next weeks puts me back into my body, into this place of utter awe, just complete disbelief that my body was somehow created to function in such an amazing, miraculous way that I can have surgery, I can have chemotherapy, I can do radiation, I can eat oranges, I can do all these things that my mind says, alert, alert, alert. And have it be a healing. Have it be something that my body, it will support my body to live longer and to live healthier and to put me in a place of extending that point of that spear. Not overextending, but to extend as my hand extends to touch yours. Life is an amazing process. Amazing. And I can hardly remember things that I've said or people have said hours ago. Sometimes I don't remember what I'm doing in the kitchen, and this is not just one of those slip of the thoughts. This is really major forgetfulness. Cognitive dysfunction, or ordinarily called chemo brain, which has been really sometimes very frustrating for me, but also puts me into the realm of kind of this is really what your life should be like, not in the should of, you know, I did wrong before, but that instead of overextending myself to always see 2 years into the future, I could really just be today, be here today. A significant undertaking for me. So I think about the spiritual lineage. I think about me as the spear point of the spiritual lineage, but not just me. And I want to give this message to you. You know, we are all in this moment, you know, the extension of a lineage. And where we take that, we need to be mindful. And there is, you know, there's a part of the surrender of our own willfulness, of our own needs, or our own perceived needs, and our own wanting to, and to just see where the energy flows, and to see where the energy takes us and manifests. It's an amazing place to be. I feel that each week I go into this shadow and recently just sitting in the chair in the chemo, in the infusion pod, they call it, in this room where there are four chairs usually, and four people receiving some form of chemotherapy. I just closed my eyes and was receiving Reiki, and I had this portion of the 23rd Psalm come to me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And that's what it feels like every week. Not in a sense of foreboding or that it's a negative experience, but it is an experience of the shadow. And this experience for me, to welcome it, to walk into it every week knowing that this is what's happening on Wednesday morning, gives me a sense of how much it means to me to have somebody beside me, number one, because I believe that if someone wasn't beside me, taking me to chemo, driving me and so on, I don't know that I would get there some days, that I would turn tail and run. And who knows whether that would be a good thing or a bad thing. That's not it. For me, I've made this commitment. I feel like this is what my body wants. I need to have the emotional courage, the spiritual courage and motivation to go forward with it. And afterwards, I am grateful that I've done it. I have gratitude that comes to me. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is my body. This is my spirit. And it will be forever. And I thought about the other day about whether when I die, if I would be cremated or not. I was reading a book about this. These people were having this, in the book, were having this conversation about whether this person should be cremated or buried. And I thought, you know, when we draw the symbols in second degree and in our teaching, these symbols of Reiki are burned because they're sacred objects and they release their energy by being burned. And I thought, that's exactly what my body is. It's a symbol. It's like holds my spirit. And when its job is finished, when the physical form needs not to be here anymore, then burning seems to be the best solution, the best way to release all the spirit that is in me. and to be able to lift it out of the earth. And I'm really excited by this insight, because I always thought it was about an ecological kind of decision, you know, whether it was ecological to actually be buried in the earth and be in some kind of a coffin which doesn't actually disintegrate. So I have lifted it out of a question of ecologicalness or ecology to a question of spirit. And this for me is really another kind of road sign to say this is where you're going, that your mind is going to be drawn out more out of the physical world and into the question of spirit over and over and over again. All these decisions that I've made in the past, all these beliefs that I've had based on fear, based on separation, based on physicalness, will be reconsidered as a spiritual decision. And I find this to be very exciting, and also comes with the emergence of myself back to myself. So Wednesday mornings, I go into the shadow. Thursdays, I live in the shadow. Friday, I start to walk out. Saturday and Sunday are my transition days. And by Monday and Tuesday, physically, I could be fatigued or not, but there's a reconnection to who I am that is different. And sometimes it's substantially different, and sometimes it's minutely different, but it's different. It's a fascinating process. I don't recommend it to those of you who would like to continue this process, but it is my process. And I feel that it's really served me and is serving me, will continue to serve me in the future, not to mention serving my body. The support that I've had through the Reiki community, both in having treatment sent, having hands-on treatment, having people come with gifts of food already prepared, of money sent so that I can pay my bills, my additional expenses like insurance costs and my car expenses. I'm driving about 5 times more than I usually do, and so there's the cost of gas, and actually my car is getting very tired because of that, so it won't last another 2 years. It'll probably last another 6 months. And, you know, all these different things, you know. I've just been so touched by the outpouring of support that has come. And I trust that gratitude is there immediately, because it is, for me, anyway. For those of you who don't know it, I've produced a DVD that was recorded right before I began my chemotherapy, and this answers some very potent questions at that time, like, how did I, as a lineage bearer, come to have cancer? Why did I choose surgery, chemotherapy, and radiation as treatment? What is the role of Reiki in my treatment process? Has Reiki failed me? And so on. I only printed a certain number of copies of the CD, of the DVD. So if you would like to see it and maybe gather a group of your friends or students who would also like to view the DVD and then have conversation with it, please write an email to me. The email address is on the e-card. And or you can contact me through the radio show, and I will try to figure out how to get a copy to you in the next few weeks. So that's out there, and I'm really excited about being able to share this with you directly. Now, my friends, it's time to come back to the new year and have us join hands, so to speak, for a few moments, and be together in Reiki. So I'm going to start some music, and I'm going to do a little meditation, and then we'll take our time and be in Reiki for a few minutes and imagine that hundreds, maybe thousands of people are listening to this during this day of December 31st, and that we are all doing the same thing at the same time or in adjoining times. So that's really a wonderful image to hold as we start our meditation and Reiki treatment together. Hands on our bodies. Whoever it was, whatever it was, who had the miracle of creation. I am the creation. I am living proof that that something happened. And through my Reiki practice, I'm able to give thanks every day to demonstrate gratitude for the miracle of my body, to support it, to balance it, to listen, to give, to surrender. In this time of winter, of hibernation, of deep white wisdom, a seed is starting to stir deep inside of us. The potential energy of the seed is beginning to move. And it is our time of year that we feed the seed with our vision, with our forgiveness, with our gratitude. With our fears, and releasing, relinquishing that which separates us from the miracle of who we are. And what a miracle. Shining eyes, hands ready to touch, bodies that carry us where we go, where we need to be. Lungs that breathe the air, welcoming the spirit, our skin that absorbs the sun, the warmth of the energy of life, and gives us shape so that others may see us. as the sun has risen today, reminds us that there is some cycle within us, without us, that we are not in control of, that it comes to us moment by moment, day by day, cycle by cycle. That our shadows are with us to be loved, to be noticed, to be carried with compassion. And that as we come out of the night and into the day, that we mustn't be afraid to look in the mirrors . For night can be your daylight, your time of vulnerability, of genuineness. And daylight can be your time of hiding. It's not about what you do. It's that you notice what you do. We are perfect. Perfect in ourselves, perfect in our beings. Not our imagined perfection, of course, but just that we are perfect. I say each day to myself, I am grounded on the earth. I'm centered in my heart. I am open to spirit. I am grounded in the earth. I'm centered in my heart, and I am open to spirit. That music was written and performed by our old friend Plinio Kitaj from Brazil. And it's on an album called Egregoria, Common Soul. This is the end of the show for today. I'd like to play for you another piece of music that just is so fitting right now and will leave you, I hope, in a wondrous state for this welcoming of the new year. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. And stay tuned immediately following this for Rick Bauchner and Fragments of Perfection.
I walk this earth, a single soul, with no sense of direction, and pass my time by looking for some fragments of perfection. And when I find the magic lamp, it draws me like a beacon. 'Tis and I find my own true tongue and language I can speak in. And all of us and everything are given life's confession to sweeten this imperfect world, our fragment of perfection. My life is full of baggage that I add to my collection. I need it not, and yet it seems not of my own selection. And just when I would give it, I search the room and find in you a fragment of perfection. And all of us and everything are given life's confection.